Praise the Lord. Praise God. How many know they're blessed this morning? Let's do this right this morning. Let's bow our heads. Father, again, Lord. Lord, we're so grateful. I am so grateful, Lord, for what you've done in my life. As I look back, I see and I thank you, Lord, for the changes in attitude, the changes in thinking, the changes in heart, Lord, that you've caused. Lord, once again, you are the reason for this season, Lord. We acknowledge you, we praise you, we worship you. We magnify you, we lift up your name, Lord, so that men will be drawn to you, Lord. Father, this morning we just thank you for your presence. Once again, Holy Spirit, you've already been invited in. As men, we did that, and as a family of God, together, as the family of God and the church of God, we give you full control this morning, Lord. We adore you. We want to sing to you. We want to let you know by our singing, by our hand raising, by our words, our actions today, how much we adore you, Lord. How much we love you. And we give you all praise and all honor and worship you alone, Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this time, Lord. Now again, Lord, we have open minds and receptive hearts. We receive from you this morning. And you alone, by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we rejoice at this opportunity again that you've given us to come into your house and to worship. We just want to be an honor to you, Heavenly Father. We want to be tools that you can use to promote your kingdom and your Son and the Holy Spirit, Father. We want to be filled with your Holy Spirit so that we can be what you want us to be, Heavenly Father. And we want you to bless each and every person that's here. We want you to bless those that aren't with us today. And Father, we want you to bless just everyone. And it's that time of year when we get hung up in commercial things rather than what the season really is about. And yet we do know that Jesus really wasn't necessarily born in December, but we go beyond the way the world wants to celebrate it, and we do it the way you want us to celebrate it, Heavenly Father. We ask you to bless this offering that we're about to receive, to multiply it so that we can continue to be an influence in our community and throughout the entire world. Yes. In Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen.
Lord, we thank you this morning for, again, your presence. Father, we thank you for the greatest present, the greatest gift that you could have ever given, your Son. Now, Lord, we just look to you. I ask you to put your words in my mouth, to use me, Lord, to speak truth, to speak what you would have me speak today, in Jesus' name. For your honor and glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When God created man, back in Genesis, at the point that he created Adam and then took Eve from Adam's side, at that point, he called it good. But also, we know that at that point, mankind was perfect. And at that point, was complete and thoroughly furnished for the good works, as the Scripture says. Now, we know that because of Jesus, that carries on to us because of the transformation in our lives. Because of sin, man's conscience, his thinking, his actions were warped. And as a result, from generations from then until now, this is the case. And one of the things we see is that this is still manifest in many ways today, even in believers, because believers don't have the mind of God, the mind of Christ. And you're saying to me, Bill, what do you mean by that? What are you saying? I'm saying that our actions and our thinking are warped. Unless you have had a revelation from the Word by the Spirit of God as to exactly what Jesus did in your life, for your life, and for the purpose of the promotion of His kingdom, you still, even though you've confessed Jesus as your Savior, may be sitting in bondage this morning. Again, you say, well, Bill, what do you mean? I'm saying that there are people out there that even though Jesus has done great things, because of life circumstances, because of the things that happened to them, because things did not go right with them. I mean, we could go through a whole list, a myriad of things. They do not have the right thinking. They don't operate in the right thinking. So their lives are stuck. They are in bondage today because, first of all, they have not really made Jesus the Lord of their life. And even though they may have the Spirit of God in them, they do not walk in the fullness and the authority of the Spirit of God. How can a person, when they say they know the Lord, they love the Lord, they're one of God's kids, if they really understand and really have the fullness of God in them and have received that, if not for no other reason than God's Word says it, how can they still operate in attitudes of nobody likes me, nobody loves me? I'm just such a bad person. Ladies and gentlemen, I would submit to you, that's why we come to church. That's why we come to God. That's why we come here. Not because we've attained and we're here, if you will, to show off our Sunday best and you know, what a great person we are, but because we have a need to this day. It began the moment we were born, and it does not end until we draw our final breath and get called into eternity. The enemy has influenced even supposed religious leaders from back then until today. And I hear echoing in my ear the Scripture that says, brethren, this ought not to be so. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, what do we mean neglect? If you forget to eat, if you forget to drink water, what's going to happen to you? Yeah. Only it's going to come a lot quicker than it had to. God asked the question. His Word asked the question. Why do you call me Lord and you don't do the things that I say? Now, this is not directed at anybody specifically in here, but from circumstances that I have encountered over the past few days. You see, that comes from a hopeless and a desperate heart. And it comes from your thinking because of the flesh thinking and because of the oppression of the enemy still in operation and the carnal nature of your, you know, in operation of your life, the carnal, your carnal life, your carnal nature, your carnal thinking. We had a conversation yesterday. For those of you who were there, you know. For those who weren't, we'll tell you. We had a conversation yesterday. Somebody brought up the point that, well, in the newspaper today, you know, kids are just, you know, running amok. Family of God. Where is your focus? See, we've come in this society to rely so much on outward stimuli that when the inside stimuli comes from God's Spirit, we have a knowledge of the Word, but we don't walk in the Word. We don't walk in its fullness. We don't walk in its power. Amen. You know, I am totally baffled that people will believe news media, newspapers, but they won't believe the Word of God. God's only done everything for you, but you don't receive and walk in what He's done for you. You have a knowledge of it, but you don't put into practice because you don't really believe it. If you did, and again, I'm not directing this at you, I'm saying if mankind in general, Christian mankind especially, that's where the biggest shame is. No wonder the Bible says Jesus wept. No wonder we know that God is grieved because He's done so much. He came to His own and His own didn't receive Him because they were so cluttered with garbage that does not line up with the Word of God. They're believing the outward stimuli rather than the inward stimuli of the Word and the Spirit that's within them. Amen. You cannot have an attitude or think, nobody loves me, nobody cares about me. Even if that was a fact from your experience on this earth, how can you say that when you know that God gave everything for you and Jesus willingly obeyed God's plan and gave Himself for you? How can you say that? Your heart's not right. Amen? Your heart, their hearts are not right. And it grieves the heart of God. It grieves God because He loves us, them, so much. I'm reminded of the old song that says, He gave His life. What more can He do? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me. In Matthew chapter 2, we read the story. Not a story, but it's not a story. It's an account of a historical fact. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is He who has been born the King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and have come to worship Him." When Herod the king heard of this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Let me remind you again, for those of you who may not know, as you become born again, you are grafted into that vine. And you are now, in this day and age, don't be confused, I'm not saying you replaced Israel, but you are as much Israel as Israel. You're of the seed of Abraham. Because of the enemy's influence still in this earth. I mean, God said, He put in His Word, He said, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. I encourage you, choose life. Bill, what does that mean? That means be careful what you think. Be careful what you say. Be careful of the influence that causes you to think what you think. If it's not in line with the Word, reject it. Reject it. Don't walk by your feelings. Your feelings, like your emotions and the thinking of your heart, which is your mind and your will and emotions, will deceive you. You want to put a foot? Don't. Just list Jeremiah 17:9. I don't think anybody here is not familiar with that scripture. Your heart is deceitful and deceptive. It will deceive you. Because your eyes and your heart and your thinking is not where it should be. You come up with the attitude, first of all, one of the things that happens in this is you become a selfish individual. Where everything in life is bound around you. It's all about you. It's all about focus on you. Amen. And why? Because you're listening to the wrong voice. Instead of seeing what God did for you, you're so caught up in feeling good, in wanting to feel good, and wanting to be elevated in what you do so people will think you're good, you totally missed the mark. Amen? Are y'all with me? When I heard the comments yesterday, the Spirit of God rose up inside me. He said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And we need to understand that everything that we say has an impact. Everything we say has an impact on our life and our future and the lives and futures of other people. I don't know about y'all, but how many want to be around a person who's just down on the molly grubs all the time? How many people want to be around that? How many people feel edified by that? How many people are built up by that? That brings your spirit low. The joy of the Lord departs in those situations. You've forgotten or you've lost track of who you are, what God's done for you, how much God loves you. He gave His Son for you. Verse 7 says, then Herod, when he had certainly called, Matthew chapter 2, verse 7, then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. And we know that that was not what he had in his heart. Your life, my life, our words are going to be... No, let me back up. They're influenced by what's in our heart. What's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. And let me tell you what I've observed from the day that I was born again till now. Not only in my life, but in the lives of other people. People that I love and care about. And that is that when you have that kind of an attitude, I mean, how can you think that you're not loved or that nobody cares? How can you say that knowing what God did and gave for you? And as a result of that, what's coming out of your mouth is not bringing life, it's bringing death. And then what's more is you begin to be influenced by that negative attitude, and then what happens is you begin to accuse others of being the reason for your feelings of inadequacy and feelings of, you know, everybody's against me. So that you can't even see when somebody really does love you and care for you, you can't see it. The devil has blinded you. You become an accuser just like he is. And innocent people get dragged in and slaughtered by the words of an uncontrolled mouth because they really have no lot nor part in God. Not because God's not there, not because they're not saved, but they refuse to see. I hear the words of my mother, words of wisdom. There are none so blind as those who will not see. You see, if everything in your life and how you feel about yourself is based on outward stimuli, you're in trouble. If you're feeling loved is based on everything that happens around you, you're in trouble. The Bible says as Christians, as believers, the world hated him, they're going to hate you. And the enemy's there to tell you, yeah, everybody hates you. He's there to enforce that, to stimulate that. What voice are you listening to and are you receiving and are you operating in? Is that the words of God? No. We forget Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts to prosper and not to harm you, and to give you a hope and a future. And yet if you listen to the words of the enemy, and you rely on outward stimuli, and outward things like how much people give you, or how much people, you know, give you, you know, physical things, if that's where your love is, how are you ever going to walk in the love of God? How are you ever going to finally come to the place where you know how much God, or how important God is in your life and what He's trying to do and desires to do and what He's promised to do in you? You'll never realize it because your focus is not on the things of God. It's on your comfort. It's on your what you get, what people give you. You get so mixed up that even when you try to do something, if something happens, and it exposes what's really in your heart. An example is there was somebody had an idea for a gift based on a conversation they had with another individual. And when that first individual who had the conversation, what they thought they perceived was expounded upon in their absence, all of a sudden, what was spoken, how many know that, you know, the Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That's why we have to train them when they're young. If we train them when they're young, they'll get these principles, these precepts in their life. But you have to have ears to hear. You have to want to hear. But when you think you've got all the answers and nobody can tell you anything, you isolate yourself. It's just the same as if you went behind a door and closed the door. It's not that nobody's trying to get in. You won't come out and you won't open the door and let them in. Which enhances the perception that you're worthless. That you have no value. Everybody's against me. Everybody's out to destroy me, to attack me. But that's because of your ultimate happiness and not understanding that other people's happiness should be the foremost thing on your heart. Can I tell you? When I finally got a hold of this in my Christian life, Those became the happiest days of my life. God set us free from sin and bondage. He's done everything He can do. Our problem is we, in some cases, in some people, don't receive that. How we feel good, how we feel like we're loved and everything, is if everybody just goes with our flow and does what we like and doesn't do anything to rock the boat, then we can feel good about ourselves through superficial things. We never consider that something might have said. And all this is because of that sin nature, that carnal nature that's still in us. Because we're not thinking about the things of God. We're not thinking about God. We don't have righteousness thinking. We still have sin thinking and stinking thinking. Amen. And yet, God sent Jesus to this earth for that reason. So that we could be redeemed. And it all stemmed from one area of disobedience in Adam and Eve's life. And ultimately, it was Adam who was responsible. I didn't say both of them didn't have equal guilt, but Adam was the one responsible. Why? Why is it that way? Because God made it that way. Amen. God made it that way. All He had to do was repent. But instead, the minute he sinned, fear became prevalent in his life because he had now given the authority that he had been given by God to an alien and a stranger, who then, instead of being the real God, became the God of this earth. And that was the reason for that baby being born in the manger. I had sent to me this week a picture text, not an email, of a manger with straw in it. And the caption was, "King size bed." I love it. I love it. I can tell you this individual, even though they go through the motions, even though they profess Jesus in their life, they don't know Him. In fact, I would say probably if the truth were known and we could see beyond the exterior, because we only know men after the flesh, not after the Spirit. God says He knows men after the Spirit. But I'd guarantee you that that person really does not understand the salvation that God has brought to them. And as a result, they live in fear. They have the attitude everybody's against them. Everybody wants to thwart their happiness. And so they go through the motions of doing physical things. Can I tell you, I've grown to hate this time of year from the respect of this very thing, because it's all about making me feel good because I've done something for somebody else. Doesn't make any difference if it makes them happy. It makes me happy because I did it. Now you're supposed to be happy too. Let me ask you a question. Even today, if you have a desire and somebody fulfills that desire, but it's not exactly what you asked for, it was their perception of what you asked for, how many of you really are really happy with it? Come on now, be honest. Come on now. But yet, we expect everybody to be happy just because we're us. Am I losing anybody, or are you following the path that I'm taking here? Am I losing you? Let me read to you out of Isaiah chapter 43. Remember in Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel and Daniel, these are prophetic scriptures, but they're also spiritual examples for us and to us. Listen carefully what God says. "But now, thus says the Lord God who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, For I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. And then he goes one step further. Nor shall the flame scorch you. Sounds like something we read someplace else, like Daniel chapter 3, doesn't it? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Listen to these words. I gave Egypt for your ransom. What does that mean? Is it even when Pharaoh had finally come to the end and realized he was not going to win against the Lord God, the God of Israel, and let the people go, he listened to the outside influences and then went and chased after them, and as a result, he perished because he would not listen or hearken to the voice of God. Ethiopia and Sheba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the sea and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. I have formed in him. Yes, I have made him. Or I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. What I'm trying to say is when your focus is in the wrong place, let me put it this way. If you have a GPS device and it's giving you direction, but you ignore that direction, what's going to happen? You're going to veer off course and get lost, aren't you? It's right there in front of you. The pathway is clear, but you get off course because you're not paying attention to what's right in front of you. You're not paying attention to the voice that's speaking to you. You're paying attention to your emotions, to what's really in your heart. And while you may have cried out, Lord, save me, and He has come into your heart, you have not experienced salvation. You may be walking in it, but you have not experienced what salvation really is and what God's really done. Your thinking gets warped. What you consider happiness is people who just everything they do is for you rather than what you do being for them. Please help me if I'm wrong. But it seems to me the very one who brought salvation into our lives is spoken of in the Word as one who said, he was made of no reputation. He made himself of no reputation. But took on the form of a servant. He didn't look to what he was going to get. Jesus didn't look to what he was going to get. His whole focus is, what can I do for you? And he wants us to see what he had done for us. When he was on the earth before the cross, everything he did was to please the Father. And in so doing, Because he obeyed the Father, he blessed people on this earth. Whether they were deserving or not. Amen? But when you get off of that, and you get out of that focus, what happens is everything becomes about you. What I want, what comfort I feel, what I think is right. And if somebody does something that crosses you, you get weird. You have an emotional crisis. Even when you know in your heart of hearts, you're so blind at that point that you think they're against you. Which tells you, if you're given a gift, or if you decide you want to give a gift, let's just go back to what Jesus was telling us in the Word. He said, when you go someplace, or you enter into a place, take your peace. And if your peace is rejected, then leave that place, go outside, and even remove the dust from your feet and take your peace with you. What happens? You become so focused on what your abilities are that, like the Scripture says, you know, we're not islands to ourselves, but you become an island. And then the worst deception that comes is you begin to think in everything you think is right, but everybody else is wrong. That there's no room for you to change and there's nothing wrong with you, but everybody else is slanted. Well, when you're slanted and you're walking around like this, what's going to happen to your vision, your perception? Everything's slanted. But the truth of the matter is, you haven't considered your ways, and you haven't considered that you might be wrong. Whatever relationship you've had in your life goes wrong, or people who you thought your friends don't want to be around anymore, or they're not around. Maybe some of it was because they weren't really your friends, but maybe some of it is because of you. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. In other words, we have to individually consider, and I have to consider, my ways. When it comes to the point where everything in the world looks like it's against you, everything, you know, we know the devil's against us. That's no big, you know, that's no news flash. That's no new revelation. He's against you. He hates God. And he hates what you stand for, and he hates the Word. And if he can keep the Word from you, he can keep you in control. Listen carefully. Herod's motives were wrong. He wanted to kill. And then he went out and killed and brought great grief in that entire area because of his perception that he was going to, somebody might be more important than him in his thinking. And that was nobody's idea. God had a plan. It had nothing to do with him taking the kingdom from Herod. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 through 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. That's not the government we think of when we think of our government. That is a government that is absolutely in solidarity with God. It's not a democracy, it's a theocracy. And he tells us, if you'll diligently listen and obey, if you'll hearken to my words, you're going to be blessed. Now, if you think about that in light of this time of year and the thinking of some people, we think that happiness is with everything we get. And yet, how many times have we heard, not only in this season, but starting before Thanksgiving, through Thanksgiving, and through Christmas, how blessed people are because they came out of themselves and they gave. They weren't thinking battery that's dying or something. Yep, it's all red. Anyway, and how happy they are because of that. But that brings happiness. You see, when you're so wrapped up in yourself and your abilities, you lose sight of what God's ability is. And your ultimate happiness can only be fulfilled in you through what you can do. And you look for others, not God, to fulfill you and make your happiness. And I'm telling you, one of the most valuable lessons that I learned was when I went through my divorce. Because I thought happiness and fulfillment was being married, having a job, having children, a little house, and that was happiness. When all of a sudden my world was shattered because of the word divorce, I realized that I really wasn't fulfilled, filled full. And what God did was He revealed to me, Bill, that joy, happiness, fulfillment only comes from a life lived for me, in serving me and serving others. I'm reminded of the old song that says, when the things you gave your life to fell apart. At that point, if you don't know the Lord, and if you don't know that you can run into the Lord and be safe, you're in trouble. Your life is built on sand and not on the rock, Christ Jesus, not on the principles of the Word of God. Unto us a child is born, unto us a child, a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder. It's the government of God. And the government of God. See, the perception of the world and why it's so warped is because it's based on what I can get, what I can do, and what, you know, what other people do for me. And yet, in becoming a servant and denying yourself, what is really happening is that's when God steps on the scene, and as you bless others, God automatically pours forth a blessing in your life. I hadn't planned on going there, but I'm going to do this. For those of you who may not have looked right out there in front of this door is a blessing from God. Most of you were here when I prophesied, I've got a new car. I've got a new car. And you know what? It's out there. And you know what it is? Exceedingly abundantly above anything I could have asked or hoped for. And I didn't get it because I worked for it. I didn't get it because, you know, I held my mouth right or I, you know, I got it because of God's goodness. And if there's any other reason, it's only in my obedience to Him that it's out there now. And you know what? I like the way Patrick says it. I went on the one payment plan. I own it. It's mine. It's paid for. God signed the check, and that is out there now because of Him. Amen. The Bible tells us, but sometimes if our thinking's not right, if we don't understand the Word, if we think we're right and everybody else is wrong, we miss the fact that God's the one who brings blessing as we bless and give our lives for the service of other people. And I tell you what, I can't tell you this makes any sense to me, but I can tell you that if being a slave is going to bring this kind of joy and blessing in my life, then I'm a slave. I want to be a slave. I've joyfully given up my freedom, but I've given it to one who I know can take my efforts, in spite of all my frailty as a human being, in spite of all my thinking that is still being changed every day of my life and will be until I draw my last breath, and make it so that my focus is not on me, it's on blessing others. It's not on making me feel good, but making others feel good. That's what Christmas is all about. Blessing others. Jesus came and died. The gift of God came. He lived the life for 33 years and then He died. For what purpose? To pull you out of those feelings of discontent, of lack, of worthlessness. Feelings of worthlessness. I hear my dad singing the song, mocking his kids as we were little because of the foolishness. It was foolishness. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to eat a worm. And folks, please, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to make a point here. Let me just say this. According to your faith, be it unto you. Is that straightforward enough? According to your faith, be it unto you. When the things that you read in the newspaper become more real than the things of God and the promise of God, something's wrong. You need to consider your ways. You need to go back to the Word. And you need to start looking at what you're trying to get and what you're going to get or what makes you happy. If God doesn't make you happy, then honey, you're never going to be happy. Amen. You're never going to be happy. It's not possible. And His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. Let me tell you something. The peace that God's talking here is not peace on earth. It's peace in your life based on the security that you have in the knowledge of Him who loved you and gave Himself for you. That's the peace He's talking about. God promised you'd never have peace in this world because He didn't come to bring peace to this earth. He came to bring peace into your life individually. And He said, I've come to make problems before you because He wants us to make the right choices. And if our choice is anything, if our focus is anything, and if we think of anything other than what would Jesus do, what was the example He gave, we're probably not thinking right. We need to go back and get our thinking straightened out with the Lord. And of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord. Listen carefully. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. I'm going to say this as cleanly as I know how to say it. Still a little gross, but still. One of the things I was taught as a child too, if you wish in one hand and you spit in the other, which one do you think is going to get full first? And God asked the question, and in the Bible it says, why are you downcast, O my soul? David cries out, why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope, put your faith in God. See, if you really trusted God, you wouldn't be concerned about whether people like you or not. Yes, we all want to be liked. I'm no different than you. But you know what? I care more what God thinks than what you think. I'm not trying to be rude. I certainly don't care what they think out there. I care more about the opinion of the one who loved me and gave himself for me than any other opinion. And that's the opinion that's important to me. Even my opinion is not important. I already know it's not important to anybody else. Everybody has opinions and armpits, and they're usually smelly to everybody else. Amen. God loves us. And this Christmas season, it's not about us. In fact, all of our walk with God, our whole life, it's not about us. It's about being a blessing. You know, Satan had a... When he tempted Jesus, he said, you know, make this stone a loaf of bread. And we know what Jesus' response was. God talks about giving. And he said, how many of you being fathers or being, you know, just would, if your son asked a loaf of bread or a fish, would give him a serpent or a stone? You think if you ask for something from God, God's going to say no? I mean, maybe if it's completely foolish. But to God, the things you and I look for, the desires we have, are not foolish. But what brings them into fruition in our lives, those things, is the fact that He's really the biggest and most important desire we have. Amen. Hallelujah.
Can I say something?
You may.
This week, I was going to put my dog down. I decided that God wanted him back. So I take him to the veterinarian, and because he was sick. And I decided, well, I'm giving him to you because in Matthew 7:25 it says, everything, he feeds the sparrows, he takes care of the birds, so everything belongs to God on earth. So I said, there, Lord, for Christmas I'm going to do without my dog. And I'm hysterical crying, but I've taken him to the vet to put him down to give him back for Christmas as a gift to him. Well, he didn't want my dog. The veterinarian said, well, we can put him down anytime, but let's try another way out of this whole situation. And she says, furthermore, a couple that you were talking to just paid off your whole bill for the dog. So he takes care of his little creature. And that wasn't my medical bill. That was his little creature that I was giving up to.
I'm reminded of another story, another fact in the Word of God. Abraham and Sarah heard God say, you're going to be parents. And again, because they got a little anxious, what does your Bible say about anxiousness? It says, be anxious for nothing but in all things by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known to God. They got a little excited and they tried to do it their way. And as a result, we've had a pain in our necks in the whole world from that time to this time. His name was Ishmael. And that didn't thwart, even though they messed up and got ahead of God, that didn't thwart the plan of God. But in that, the heart of Abraham was God gave the gift. It was a promise from him. So that when God asked for Isaac back, Abraham gladly went. Even when his son Isaac questioned him and said, we're going to make a sacrifice, but where's the sacrifice? Never realizing until the moment he was right on that altar tied, when the knife was about to touch his throat. Abraham said, God will provide. And what was revealed to Abraham, and also what God already knew. See, God already knew Abraham's heart. Unlike us. We don't know each other's heart. Our actions demonstrate what's in our heart, but we still don't know each other's heart. I can tell you there's still things in me that, thank God, you don't know. Amen. Yeah, amen. But God provided, and it was proved to Abraham that he loved God more than he loved the promise that God gave him. And he knew that if God required him, because he was God's to begin with and God blessed him with him, God would raise another one. I don't know, that might have been where we get this silly attitude that, man, I brought you in this world, I'll take you out and make another one just like you. God's the author of that, not us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I wish you all the very merriest of Christmases. Happy holidays. But you know, the only reason I know that that's going to be possible is because of Christ in us, who is what? The hope of glory. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Hallelujah. God doesn't favor me over anybody else. Imagine that. Imagine that. Think about that. I'm His favorite. But you're His favorite. How's that possible? Because He's God. Amen? Instead of running around, woe is me, I'm His favorite. He says, I'm the apple of His eye. And that means you too. Amen? Bless you. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this time. Father, I pray this was a blessing. Now, Lord, we just ask You to seal Your Word in our hearts, Lord, that this brought about edification, comfort, and exhortation, that Your love was shed abroad in our hearts today, Lord, and, Lord, that we got a glimpse of something different that will change any apprehensions, misgivings, or off-thinking, Lord, in Jesus' name. Are all hearts clear this morning? Then, Lord, we just thank You for this. I thank You, Lord, that Your face, the light of Your face, shines upon Your people. I thank You, Lord, that You bless them coming and going. That's Your desire. And, Lord, that You show Yourself strong in their behalf every moment of every day. Now, Lord, we just sanctify the food and the fellowship, the time together. And we look forward to the time when we'll get together again, Lord. In Jesus' name, we give You praise, honor, and glory forever. Amen.